Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Fallen London is all about choice. Will you offer your soul to a devil? Will the revolting stains you've put on it make them turn up their nose? It's up to you. Play Fallen London, a free text adventure game on mobile or at fallenlondon.com. Sign up today at failbettergames.com/rustyquill and receive free actions.
Welcome to Rusty Quill Gaming. I am your host, Ben Meredith. The king is dead. Long live the king.
Hooray! It's a better king!
Yay!
Yes!
You've got such a good beard.
Take that, Alex.
Kings need beards.
Kings don't need beards.
Wow, you guys are always mean to each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
Welcome to the opening, Alex.
Yes, that is worth mentioning. So let's go around and people can introduce themselves. And to my right we have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Bryn Monroe.
James Ross.
Alex, the king is dead Newell, apparently.
I'm Alice Bell. I'm a guest.
Cool.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a bit about yourself then, because they know all about us.
They've been watching us. I am a video games journalist, and I work for videogamer.com. Very excited to be here. Thank you, Ben.
Good. I'm glad. I will look forward to disappointing you about that. So,
we could restart on a cheerier note.
Nah.
No.
It's a cyberpunk dystopia where everyone's slightly mean
spoilers.
To each other.
That's a good point. Works. Yes. So we are not playing Pathfinder. We are going to be playing a one-shot of Corporation, which is a small cyberpunk game by James Norbury. It's quite good. It's quite silly. And that is what I'm going to be running for you all here. So, to quickly talk about the system, it's a stats plus skill system. You add those together, that way you get your target number, and then you roll 2d10 and you try and roll underneath it. There are extra bits and bobs about it, but that's pretty much the core of the thing. And to describe a little bit about the setting, it is a cyberpunk dystopia. It draws, well, some of its main references are The Matrix and Johnny Mnemonic, so those of you familiar with that particular film know exactly the level.
The world is awash with Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Oh god, it's horrifying. It's worse than I could have ever imagined.
And Hugo Weaving. Don't forget Hugo Weaving. Yeah.
The impact is significantly less and I'm okay with this world again.
And everything is green and blue.
Yeah.
Good colours.
And you cannot hold more than 2 gigabytes in your brain.
2 gigabytes?
That's too much information!
Wow.
It's Ridiculous.
Pentium processor, man. It's going to change everything.
Yeah, yeah. So to describe the cyberpunk dystopia that you are all living in.
The year is 2500. Six corporations have taken all the power and the government have clubbed together into the UIG, or the United International Government. You work for Eurasian Incorporated, a conglomeration of European and Russian interests who really, really like money.
Heard. That sounded quite sore.
I actually put on a voice for the podcast. This is what I'm like all the time.
That's all we really need to know about the setting, because I'm running quite a small game. As I said, you are all agents who are the Black Ops operatives. Black operating operatives?
That's a redundancy.
Do we get our money from ATM machines?
Yeah, exactly.
You're based individuals who undertake Black Ops operations. They put operation in the name.
You're Black Ops.
Yeah, you are Black Ops. There we
Send your Black Ops is my name.
Yeah, you do the dirty work for the corporations. You are not necessarily nice people.
Okay.
And you have been called into your handler's office in Eden Spire. It's a spire city, which is roughly 1,000 stories high, and it's where all the rich people live. You amongst them. You are part of the privileged elite. It is the evening of December the 31st. Yeah.
Are
there 31 days in December?
I don't know. It's 500 years in the future. Maybe the calendars have shifted.
It's the 52nd. It's the 52nd of
November.
Yeah. Basically, it's New Year's Eve, guys. It's New Year's Eve.
Nice. Hey, we don't get any bank holidays. I'm done with this futuristic.
This is
a dystopia. That's how you know it's a dystopia. And there are no bank holidays.
All the pieces fall into place.
No bank holidays, no maternity leave, no sick leave. Kiss the NHS goodbye. You all begin to file into your handler's office on New Year's Eve, as we've established the 52nd of Nov December. Who comes in first? Why, it's Lydia. Please describe your character.
Well, Henrietta Crunch has this amazing electrocosmetics built into her face and right down her arms, which are continually dancing with bright lights playing to a beat that only she can hear. Headphone implants. There's this waves of lights and patterns. She's wearing low slung, rugged, the kind of trousers that have so many pockets.
Combat Raver?
Combat Raver. I mean, she looks exactly like stereotype cyberpunk. Is that she's wearing a tank top, which is also made of smart materials. Unfortunately, it's playing on a slightly different beat.
So it's a very dissonant.
Yeah, it's a dissonant. It really, there's a rave going on right in here.
So she's just trying to really flush out any latent epileptics.
Yeah. she carries a strobe warning. It's quite difficult really for her to move sneakily because there needs to be a legal notice.
Bryn, you follow in.
Hugo saunters in.
Just Hugo?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a one name kind of guy.
Fair enough.
Of completely indeterminate nationality. His surname might give away too much. He's got he's got
Where's it? Hugo Italian.
Still governor of possibilities.
We'll never know.
He's got far too much product in his hair. He's wearing sunglasses inside at night because he's that sort of idiot. He's got an impressively manicured goatee. He's wearing a very expensive suit, but it's slightly rumpled, as if he might have been wearing it a couple of days. There's no tie. You know, he's an open neck kind of guy. And he just manages to lounge while standing in the middle of the room, not near anything.
And is quickly followed by...
My character. I thought I'd like to challenge myself creatively, so instead of playing a loud, bluff aristocrat, I'm going to play a mime this time.
That sounds sensible for an audio medium.
I'm glad you agree, Ben. May I say that agreement with me in this, and indeed all matters, represents a significant demonstration
no,
of
you can't say
your
that
part.
Because you're a mime.
I'm saying it out of character. My character, Quiet Simon, couldn't say that.
So what does Simon says? Nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. You've preempted my next joke. Thank you, Lydia. That's fine. So, Quiet Simon is a failed mime.
He failed so hard that he failed himself into an incredibly well-paid executive.
Yes, exactly. But he's not in the theatre, which is his one true love. So he is wearing, obviously, a black beret, white face with like panda black eyes and the highly made up, very red lips. And he's obviously wearing a black and white striped, obviously, horizontal striped jumper. Because this is the far future cyberpunk dystopia, so he's stealthy if he turns sideways and lies next to a barcode. although the door to the office is already open, Quiet Simon goes up to the door, mimes the door handle, opens it, walks in behind and closes it behind him after locking it using his mime key.
Do you want to have a nice little early roll? Do you want to roll me some, I'm going to say, agility, arts and culture?
All right, fine.
Arts
and culture is 4 and agility is 9, so it's 13.
You rolled 11.
So your excess is 2. As you walk in, you're like, oh, Simon, is there an extra door that I... I see what you're doing, Simon.
Quiet Simon tips everyone a little wink and makes it, mimes a little gun symbol to it. That's how mimes indicate to other mimes they're good at mime.
Hugo does it back.
So do you...
cheesily.
Quiet Simon pretends to catch the bullet, puts it in his pocket, and then mimes, I love you, with a little heart in the air. Blows a kiss back to Hugo.
Hugo smiles.
Ah, oh, some touching moments so early.
So much backstory.
Take that, Pathfinder. Following Simon.
Mr. D. Medic walks in. That'd be Dr. Medic. Mr. Dr. Medic.
How is it that every character you ever play in these one-shots I instantly hate?
It's a talent that I'm going to build a career on, I promise. So Mr. Dr. Medic walks in, takes a moment, and then brings out a little washcloth, washes his hands with some alcohol, closes it again, brings it out again, washes the cloth, and puts it back. Mr. Dr. Medic is pristine to the point of antiseptic. Bleached white hair, slicked to the point where it's almost flat on his head. Along with that, he wears a white coat to signify that he's a doctor. He doesn't have to. It's the future. People don't do this. It's kind of archaic. But he insists on wearing a big, full lab, sort of white lab coat over the top of what's clearly his operative gear. And in the back of his head, just sort of hidden behind some strands, is what's clearly some kind of neural port. Because it's the future, and that's futury. Future.
Yes. It is worth mentioning, everybody has these ports, but they're currently empty for everybody but Mr. Dr. Medic.
Mr. Dr. Medic gives what he thinks is a winning smile. It's not. He then brushes off a chair and sits down, almost daintily. Yes.
Following on.
Well, let's find out. I don't know yet, I should say.
Yeah. Give us a story about this.
So I gave all the info that Ben gave me to my group, my RP group, and said, you guys sort of crowdsource my character description for me.
So you crowdsource the sci-fi character. That's very meta, and I approve.
Yeah. So I haven't actually read any of the details yet, so let's find out together.
I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, so in walks Ivanka Rosnitov. 23 years of age, fifth in line to the throne of the small state of Bosnovikov. An oil-rich, cash-poor state with only around 1,000 citizens.
Some solid world-building going on.
Yeah,
oil-rich, cash-poor, you say?
Well, we're a post-oil economy.
They discovered oil in 2047.
If only if we were around 500 years ago.
So Ivanka is snobbish.
Probably the only oil left in the world. I mean...
Yeah, indeed. We're trying to give it away. We can't.
Only those little novelty pots.
I've been to Bosnovikov and I just got this lousy...
All I got was 37 barrels of oil.
So Ivanka's kind of snobbish, looks down on everyone else for not being ability, even though in truth we are penniless. Hence why I am now apparently a Black Ops agent. So my main trait of haughtiness. Oh, but my character flaw is that I have no sense of taste, so wear awful clothes.
You'll fit right in.
Yeah. So you're wearing a t-shirt that says I went to, I can't even say it.
Yes, quite possibly, although apparently I insist that it is the height of Bosnovikov fashion.
Any further personal embellishments you wish to add?
I can try and do a Russian accent. I do have a Russian pen pal.
I like that. She writes in a really excellent accent. I'll pick it straight up from the page.
My accent, all our accents in the last special we did came in for, I felt, an undue amount of criticism. So I decided to double down today, and I'll be doing a different accent in every scene.
Amazing.
All of them equally terrible.
But you're a master of disguise, so as far as we're concerned...
Yeah, in character, they're all perfect.
Yeah. As Ivanka Roznitov walks in, how does she take her seat?
Very upright, very hot, as if she did that training where you have your shoulders tied to the back of your chair.
The sort of, where's my book, where's my book? You take it off your head. Ah, there it
there's
is.
There's my book, indeed. She can have a book on her head, actually, I like that.
So you've got a fascinator book, that's like a
yeah.
book.
Yeah, exactly. It's retro fashion. Yeah, book fascinator on head... sort of glides in, sits down, doesn't make direct eye contact with anyone and ignores you because she's very impolite. But yes, dressed like a member of the cast of Absolutely Fabulous.
Quiet Simon directly and immediately and perfectly mimics the gliding in and the sitting down on a chair exactly next to you and perfectly mimics her movements.
Are we here for a reason or...?
Well, currently the desk is empty. But after you ask that question, a door at the back slides open and in walks a very, 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 very large man in a very, very, very expensive suit, who is your handler. You don't know his name. He's just been introduced to you as the handler and you've been with him from training. You guys have been on a few missions together, so you are familiar with each other, but not old hats, not veterans with each other. Hello, agents.
Hello.
Good to see you all, please.
All right there!
Take a seat, please, Henry.
Oh, quiet, yeah. Simon waves.
Simon. So, the reason I have called you on here on this crisp November Eve. December Eve. Yeah, I always get that changed. I remember the days when we just had November and December.
Of all of the handlers, this one. I mean...
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing, carry on, please.
What is the job tonight?
So surprised you all made it out of basic training. But, yes, very sensitive mission for you all now. One that requires the utmost elegance, precision, and professionalism.
Well, I can see you why you asked the rest of us, glares at Alex's character.
I don't know what you're implying.
Anyway, let's get down to brass tacks. We need you to recover some information. But the twist is that this information we already have. We recently came...
I'm done then! Hey!
Let me explain the twist.
Quiet Simon up as a high five for everyone in the room.
Let me explain the twist, it's not quite that simple. We received some information on a nanochip. This information regards a revolution in gene sequencing technology. Something we'd very much like to keep our hands on. Unfortunately, the Western Federation also found out about this. And... effectively threatening war, we are going to have to sell it to them. You need to stop that happening.
So we're stealing it from ourselves before we can sell it?
Yes.
Good.
So.
Right.
The deal is occurring at the New Year's Eve party of one of our ambassadors in northern Sweden. One Ambassador Clara Nilsdottir. So you will be going to her private compound in the northern reaches of Sweden and you will be retrieving that chip. We cannot let her know what we're trying to do for fear of her being interrogated. We're the only 6 people of our level who know about this. You cannot tell anybody else. You need to get in, locate the chip, and then we need you to kill everybody involved.
Aww.
Everybody there, including the Western Federation agents and any EI operatives in the area to make sure this information does not get out.
But this Clara sounds nice.
Well, we don't care. Money's nicer, and not going to war with the Western Federation is even nicer.
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, you say that we need to steal this thing. I mean, as long as our competitors don't access it, we could just, you know, hack a satellite, crash it, you know, nuke the site from orbit.
We'd rather
it's
like
the only way to be sure.
We'd rather like to keep the information so we can send it to Gemini BioWare.
We need the chip first.
Fair enough.
We want this information.
Get in, extract, murder all. Got it. Yeah.
Unfortunately, if you just kill everyone, they'll start asking questions. So we're going to
nuke them from orbit.
The Western Federation will start asking questions as to why they mysteriously all died.
But they were nuked from orbit, so it's okay.
Will you shut up?
We have provided you a cover story. Halfway through the night, the compound is going to be attacked by the cult of Machina. Are you all familiar with the cult?
Of course.
It's the opposite of Ex Machina.
No, they used to be Machina.
Oh, right.
No, they want to be Machina. I'll give you a little...
the cult formerly known as Ex Machina.
See, there we go.
I'll give you a little update. These individuals love robotics, they love cybernetics, and they love AI. So they're trying to turn themselves into robots and, well
they
cybermen.
Sound great.
Yes, they're not. They're horribly murderous, and they kidnap people and put robot bits in them. They are going to attack halfway through the night. You need to locate the chip and find your weapons and equipment, because you will be entering as guests as your cover. so I'll briefly explain how that works. You will only have your basic equipment, and we have smuggled in your extra equipment as a supply drop, because obviously Clara gets all of her supplies from the EI and doesn't ask too many questions. Out of character, what this means is that you will enter the mission with only your reinforced clothing, your combat knife, and your pistols. So you'll have your black cougar pistol, so very basic equipment. Alice, you have a Liberty Black body space, which is a bit of cybernetics. It means you have a hole in your chest.
I was going to ask, because it just says body space, which is quite ambiguous.
She's got a really good sense of your private space. No, you have a cupboard in your chest.
Okay, good.
This cupboard can hold either two of your grenades,
yep,
or one of your explosive charges. So you can choose what you'd like to enter with. I'll leave you to think about that. You don't have to make that choice straight away.
Thanks.
So there are multiple ways in which you'll be able to fulfill this. And we've got a series of plans written out for you, just to give you a little bit of help, because goodness knows you'll need it. The map has the whole mansion planned out with its various kitchen storerooms. Your equipment is in the storeroom or larder. There is a security terminal.
Mm-hmm.
Which controls all of the security in the area.
At the opposite end of the entire building.
That will cover the friend or foe program that the automated defences have. So that may be useful. You have the shield generator, because the compound is within a large force field, because mm-hmm. the ambassador likes to maintain an amount of forest around her,
sure,
of artificially grown trees, because the world has been ravaged by a war previously, and basically the ecosystem is completely screwed. And these 15 little blobs here. As you can see, each one of these little...
The blobs.
Little blobs, yes. Each one of them is a pile of Ferrero Rocher. The nanochip is hidden within a Ferrero Rocher.
Why would an ambassador have Ferrero Rocher?
We'll never know.
It's such poor quality chocolate. I don't...
Hugo, I believe you have been given a hot cold detector, which will vibrate more violently as you get closer to the correct pile of Ferrero Rocher.
Excellent.
So you need to go in, prepare yourselves for the Cult of Machina attack, however you see fit, and find the correct pile of Ferrero Rocher.
And then murder everyone.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then get out with the Ferrero Rocher.
That makes sense.
Makes total sense. That sounds
fairly straightforward.
Yeah,
fairly reasonable to describe it.
Are there any fail-safe procedures? If we kill the ambassadress, will the compound self-destruct?
No.
Good.
When you say kill everyone...
Yes.
How many people is everyone?
A few hundred. Nothing we can't lose.
Okay. Is there a gas or drones or...
Oh, there's plenty of gases you could use.
You will be using your specialist equipment and special skills to...
We will be shooting them in the head.
I'll tell you what, if you just turn that generator off, I could nuke it for you.
This is up to you. You can talk about this in transit. Now... I am getting bored of this conversation. I have other things to do. We have New Year's Eve parties to go to, don't we? So I'm going to leave you with this map, and you can get on the plane, and we'll scoot you on over there where you can plan. Also, we need to take a little break for our sponsor.
Oh, let's think in a futuristic cyberpunk dystopia, of course, all conversations are essentially breaked up.
So the handler presses a button on his desk, a little holoscreen pops out, and you're all shown an advert, which plays as such.
It's amazing what Londoners can learn to live with, like having their city stolen and brought underground by bats. For those who love to read and for those who love to play, Fallen London offers a unique narrative which evolves with every choice you make. Define your destiny through the stories you embark on and the characters you cultivate. Explore 1.5 million words of Victorian Gothic London during the reign of Queen Victoria. There are stories about inconvenient aunts, sea voyages, struggling artists, talking tigers and ruthless devils. The writing will make you shudder and swoon. Befriend, beguile or antagonise hundreds of characters from diplomats and devils to rubbery men and the elusive masters throughout your journey. Play Fallen London, a free text adventure game at fallenlondon.com or on mobile. By signing up at failbettergames.com/rustyquill, you can also receive free actions to start your playthrough.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that message. And the hollow screen slides back into the handler's desk and he leaves.
Oh, that looked like a really good product and or service.
It did, didn't it?
I'm like,
by 20.
Yeah.
Quiet Simon mimes patting down, looking for his wallet in all of his many pockets that don't exist in his tight black trousers.
So Hugo rolls up the blueprint, shoves it in the inside pocket of his jacket and heads towards the door.
Yep, cool. So you've been sent a tweet telling you exactly where your...
You've been sent a tweet?
I don't know why I said a tweet.
Stick with it.
All of our operation now goes through Twitter.
Twitter stayed the distance.
Twitter now runs all telecommunications in the world.
Well, let's be honest. Like, email wasn't fit for purpose, and apparently Twitter took over. Who knew?
You know where the plane is, and it's leaving in 5 minutes, so it's a nice, easy stroll to the airport on the 486th floor of the Eden Spire. So it's a nice walkover. You get your flight, and you're now sitting there with the blueprint in front of you, and able to start planning.
Well, I think that the best thing to do would be to send Mr. Doctor Medic to the security terminal, because if the house defences get activated against us, we're simply finished. Now, if Ivanka and Henrietta want to head to the shield generator maybe and take that out, we've got to enable the diversionary attack, basically,
That makes sense, that makes sense.
And then maybe Simon and I go to the equipment and grab it and then hand it out to everyone.
I mean, that could work. We need somewhere off the beaten track to meet. I noticed there's a small, obscure little storeroom here which we could all convene at before making our sort of final approaches. So are we wanting to pick up all of the equipment before capturing the Ferrero Rocher or after capturing the Ferrero Rocher?
I think we can sort through the Ferrero Rocher after everyone's dead, basically.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, the question is, I mean, depending how many of the machiners there are, we may have the issue of everyone that we need dead is dead, but it's also full of more people that we also need dead.
And also, stuff might get exploded!
Yeah!
And that might include the Ferrero Rocher, as well as some skulls.
Here's a plan, then. We kill the shields, I turn off the security entirely, the machiners come in, and then we turn on the security again, and it kills all the machiners. We just make sure that we're not there when it happens. Kill us.
That's not a terrible idea.
I mean, we just find somewhere to hole up, you know, it goes off, everyone's all dead, and then we turn it off again, and then we can just sort through the remains of, like, body parts and Ferrero Rocher. I'm very good at isolating the difference between the two.
Chocolate and body parts.
Yeah, it's more obvious than you'd think.
Time.
Do you think there's something to be said for getting the Ferrero Rocher first, though? Because you can just pretend that you want a chocolate.
I mean,
Quiet Simon mimes high-stepping, stealthy movements across the sort of the central party room, and also eating chocolates one at a time and really enjoying them.
Well, I've got a detector, so I'll just do a circuit of the main room and make sure I've approached all the different stacks of Ferrero Rocher.
We should have some people in the main hall just mingling then, whilst the rest of us do the other things.
Just go now with the party. Yeah,
Quiet Simon mimes having fancy dinner dressed. Evening lapels, perhaps them, holding
one or two
a small cocktail
are...
and a small plate of canapés. And he looks at the canapés.
You know what it's like, Simon. Yeah.
Perhaps two people who are slightly more capable of mingling. I'm just throwing it out there. Not myself, obviously. I'm hitting the security, but
pretty good at mingling. Here?
Well, we might need some heavy weapons.
Sorry,
to take
I can't
out the
hear you over your clothes, dear.
We might need some heavy weapons to take out the shield generator. It's likely to be well guarded.
Well, I can smuggle in an explosive charge in my body space. Which
perfect.
We can
so
then,
that's a great distraction.
Which we can then rig to explode remotely as well, I am assuming.
I am also a great distraction.
You know what? That's a better use of your skills, I agree.
I just think stealth would be the best way to get through the kitchen and the larder to get to the equipment.
Quiet Simon raises his hand and then jiggles around excitedly in a way that very clearly means me, 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 me.
I point finger guns at you enthusiastically.
Yeah, he points finger guns back.
In which case, it makes sense for me to head through the library and try and find my way into security. Pew pew. He starts doing a very poor imitation of the pewing.
Quiet Simon puts his hands on his hips and just shakes his head.
pew, fine.
Okay. Bertie McCrew. So, remote detonate the shield generator so then I can be back in the dining room mingling and far away from any kind of culpability there.
Your detonator has a range of 20 kilometres, so that should be doable.
Should be fine.
Well, would it make sense then for Quiet Simon to place the charge? I mean, is Quiet Simon qualified? Because then you can activate it remotely and you don't have to do the sneaking.
You will be able to place them to make sure they do maximum damage, but it's kind of pop it down and it'll explode it. But it might go wrong, so it's doable, but you are the best person to do
it.
Quiet Simon mimes putting a bomb in his mouth, zipping it up, locking it, and throwing away the key.
You know what? You're right. You should probably do it.
Full cheeks like a big hamster.
The pilot over the intercom says, right, well, we're about 5 minutes to our destination, so wrap up any plans and get ready to leave.
Are we landing or jumping?
Which do you prefer?
Oh, jumping is great!
We're guests to this party. Let's arrive
properly.
He's right,
properly. He's right. Jumping.
Yeah,
maximum
you should arrive in style!
Okay, parachutes are to your left. You all learned how to do it in basic training, so I trust you'll be fine.
Quiet Simon Mime's putting on a Mime parachute.
Then stops, then puts on
a correct parachute.
So, you all pop on your parachutes, and the pilot counts you in, and the back of the plane opens.
You right. Could, like, Henry puts her music on speakers, and it's just like dancing all the way down.
Nice.
The lights are going up. Is it slightly foggy or whatever? So she then just becomes like a bright glow. She rolls and she wins. It's all great. She doesn't drop her dice at all.
Yes. So it is a Swedish dusk, which means it's quite dusky. There's a light snow in the air, so the visibility is not amazing. But below you, as you jump out, I'm assuming Henrietta's going first from that reaction. You can see the mansion. It's pretty big, and it's inside this fluorescent purple ball.
Try not to land on the roof. Probably kill us.
Does it have a landing spot?
For people parachuting out of planes?
Yeah.
I assume it does, in that kind of mansion,
yeah.
It does, actually, yes. There's a helipad, and then there's a personal pad just next to it on the roof.
It's got a big P on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a personal pad.
The reason that Henrietta is particularly excited is because, of course, it has lights guiding you in.
Nice flashing. I'm going to jump out the plane as we're probably a kilometre away from the house at this point.
We're out. Everyone's out?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So you start to plummet towards the house.
Are we all automatically going to succeed? We don't need to roll for a parachute jump.
No, you don't. Okay. This is covered in basic training.
Tenth of my credits to the person who opens their chute last.
Does anybody want to take them up on that ridiculous offer?
No one's listening to him. No one ever does.
Classic, by which I mean always, our way of playing.
It is worth mentioning that you all have very secure sub-vocal communications with each other. You both have a speaker and a microphone buried in your molar.
Oh, I'm abused.
So if you clench the back of your teeth, you are able to communicate at a low murmur.
Telecommunications are covered by Twitter, and I've muted you.
it's a fair solution.
Yes, it's a private communications network. You're all on the same frequency, and it's very, very, very difficult to hack at up to about 100 kilometres, so it's pretty much the safest way to communicate.
Okay.
Cool. This was covered in basic training. No one's taking Mr. Dr. Medic up on his ridiculous offer.
Blocked and reported.
I just keep thinking, please call me Doctor. Mr. Doctor.
Mr. Doctor Medic's my father.
So you'll land with varying degrees of style as you hit the pad.
Quiet Simon mimes tiny little fluttering hands by his side. Oh, he's a
nice
little birdie.
Very nice. And as you land, your parachutes are sucked back into their backpack and prepare themselves for the next drop.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
There are some advantages.
Cyber futures.
It's worth me asking at this point, are we dressed even vaguely appropriately, or have we landed in full combat gear in the middle of the front door?
No, you are not in your combat gear because all of your combat gear is being kept in supply crates.
Excellent.
You are all currently dressed as you would choose, but you're going to a formal ambassadorial dinner party.
So, like combat rave, but... Oh, you know how Cyberdog does those light-up suits?
Yes.
Whereas just instead of pinstripes, there's
like,
circuit
diagrams. Yeah, like a neon-lined suit.
It's retro cyberpunk even now. Yeah. So it's really over even in 2016.
It's like wearing a powdered periwig.
No, Ivanka's going, oh, that's excellent. That's really, really sharp.
Yeah.
So innovative.
Have you decided to don something similar, or have you got a different way?
No, different. I'm thinking sort of a kind of blend of purple and orange faux furs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good look.
Still with the book, fascinating.
Still with the book. But like,
you know. Which, and she managed to balance it on her head during the parachute drop.
Yes, she's there.
That's a point, actually. What's the title of the book?
Oh, it'll be, yeah, that's a good point. It'll be a different one for different days, wouldn't it? I imagine this one would be like The Great Gatsby or something.
Anyone else wearing anything of note, or are you just in your suits?
I'm afraid I'm a boring person, so I'm just going to be dressed really, really boring. Like, I look
just,
like
wait,
when
you say boring, what you mean is appropriately.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm in a tuxedo, and I've switched my normal, quite stylish sunglasses for sunglasses that spell out the year. Because it's
very nice.
No. It's not just glasses that do it, sunglasses.
Which is
25001. Yeah.
Do you do the future year or the current year?
Oh, 2501. It's future tech. Have it show this year and change at midnight.
Yes. Yeah did that. I'd
okay, that's happening. And the mime.
Classic LBD.
Oh my god.
Nice.
Yeah. Sleek, stylish, timeless.
I don't know what LBD is.
Little dress.
Oh, okay.
It's part of your standard capsule wardrobe, Meredith.
It's true. And then you have like a maybe like a good...
You can see angriest like... James ever got.
Just change the shoes out of clutch. You can take it from day to night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So you're all looking
stealthy,
stylish. Yeah. Stealthy.
Looking stylish.
Yeah, it's actually helpful, I think. You are the stealthy one, aren't you?
I'm the stealthy one.
Yes, because you have stealth skin, which means that you basically have chameleonic skin. So the more flesh you show, the stealthier you are.
So how little is that black dress?
Showing a lot of thigh. A lot of thigh.
Okay, cool. You land dressed in your various attires. There are cameras up here. So you're also being watched. This is a public entrance. And there are some stairs.
Good, I wouldn't have put this pinstripe suit on.
No, if you weren't going to be seen. It's fair enough.
Quite Simon's sachets. That's the camera.
Very nice. So, and there is a set of stairs which lead down towards the main entrance. So you've got the entrance at the front, and you've got a back entrance, and you've got the garage.
This is garage. A garage podcast.
Yeah, okay. I'm watching too much American TV.
This is a garage house.
For garage people.
There are also numerous windows which are not marked on the map. So.
Because it's a cyberpunk dystopia, all of the windows, there are 95 windows.
Oh.
They're gonna, okay. Yeah, they're gonna.
Oh, is it? Oh.
They add a new one every year.
Yeah, okay. So it's got really unhelpful tooltips if you knock on any of them.
We're revealing our age.
I hear you're trying to hold an ambassadorial thing.
May I suggest Ferrero Rocher? That's why, guys.
That's
why the Ferrero Rocher are at the ambassadorial reception.
This is
Clippy.
Smart houses. Clippy. This is where
anyway.
This is an alternative future where Clippy took over rather than the. We're looking at a future where Siri and Alexa and Google Now end up in a three-way war, but this is a Clippy-only universe.
Oh, God, it's so bleak.
But surely that is the darkest
time. I will be entering through the main entrance.
Okay.
Is anybody
slinking off? You're wearing a slinky dress, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Quiet Simon will be slinking off towards the garage.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. As the four others approach the main entrance, James, I want you to make me an agility stealth roll, please, to get past the cameras. You're going to be taking a -2 because of how much surveillance there is here, but it shouldn't be too much challenge to find an area where the cameras lose you.
Agility stealth. I'm trying to beat a roll of 20, I believe. -2, so it's 18. Zero, one. What does that add up to?
One. So that means you...
No, it's up to 11.
11.
Oh, yeah, of course, because it's a 10. There we go.
There are no zeros.
Yes. Okay. So you pass by 7, which is a fantastic pass. So you, effectively, there is a pillar, and you walk out of one side and just not out the other side. Ooh. The cameras just lose you.
It looks, from anybody who's looking at it on the ground, as if another pillar is moving from behind that pillar.
Are you climbing a pillar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not climbing up the pillar or doing anything like that, just being a pillar.
Being a pillar
so absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite handy because as decoration, the ambassador has laid sort of like these moving house parts. So it's basically looks like the mansion from 13 Ghosts.
Quite Simon embodies it so well. Yeah. Like it's staggering.
It's pretty solid.
Image recognition in the camera, it's absolutely a pillar. With 97% certainty, pillar.
Are you going for the garage door or the back door? The garage door will lead you more directly to the storeroom where you need to be.
You're basically invisible either way. Just pick whichever's the most efficient.
Garage door.
Fantastic. And the four of you approach the entrance, and you are met by effectively a butler who has...
Is it a robot butler?
Is he called Clippy?
No, it's a human butler. However, he has a fantastic wig, which looks like two kind of curved pieces of metal just leading out.
I see it. Carry on.
Hello and welcome to the residence of Ambassador Neil Stockton. Can I see your invitations? Which you have.
Yes, of course. Here you go. I try and do it without any kind of actual
He takes it with elegantly, with a little bit of a flick. He says, thank you very much. If you would like to walk in, can I take your cards?
No, I'd rather keep it on. How else will anyone know that I'm a Mr. Doctor?
Indeed. Anybody else?
Of course not. This was very expensive. Everyone must see me wearing it.
That is as the lady wishes.
No, sure. Have this. Gives over the pinstripe top, and underneath, she's wearing a short sleeve shirt, so you can see all the light up stuff that is just on the face, down the neck, and along the arms. Like doof, doof, doof. Lights are flashing.
Very nice. Well, he opens the door for you.
Hey, mechanically, everyone likes the lights.
It's true. Yeah.
The only reason I'm disapproving is because I'm jealous deep down.
It's a mechanical bonus.
Can't stop it.
Yeah.
So he opens the door for you, takes the coats and disappears off to a side. He walks towards the drawing room, and you are opened out into the lobby, and through another set of double doors, you can see the grand hall, which is massive, very, very golden, lights everywhere. There are little festive drones kind of hovering around.
And that's the best kind of drone.
They have canapes on them, and they slowly dip down as people raise their hands for more canapes.
No one pretend to be a waiter. It'll be really weird now.
Everybody is dancing. There is a stage with a DJ playing some music, and you can see through the door there are 8 piles of Ferrero Rocher. 8 glorious golden pyramids in the classic style.
Suspended from drones?
No, they are sitting on
tables.
Are
they tiny little drones themselves?
What, each piece of Ferrero Rocher?
Yes.
No.
Okay. That makes things easier.
But no, the music is classical music, i.e. dubstep.
Yes. Everyone's saying, oh, Skrillex, yes, it's very good. Yes.
Preferred his early.
Definitely, it wasn't appreciated until he passed away, unfortunately.
Shame he went deaf towards the end as well. Thankfully, no one noticed.
You walk in. Is there anything you four would like to immediately do?
I'll be heading immediately from the foyer into the library on my way to security, but nonchalantly.
Okay.
Quick information. I mean, can you test a Ferrero Rocher whether it's got the chip in it by eating the Ferrero Rocher?
Nano chip.
Right.
Yes, it's nano, but it's not.
Okay.
Nano.
In my medical opinion, I believe that just by eating them, we could all gorge ourselves enough to find them without the detector?
You probably could, as long as you have careful tongues.
What's this hallway here on the map that I'm pointing to? Fast
at the very, very back of the building.
Yes, that is just a general storeroom, kind of a tech cupboard, basically, where they keep the boiler works and the various things that keep the house running.
Oh, suspiciously,
there's a lot of cover.
There is, actually,
and
I drew that in for no particular reason.
Okay, good.
We don't pay any attention to it then. We rub it off the map.
Yeah.
I'm going to start circling the party, chatting to people, not staying too long in any conversation, and position myself near piles of Ferrero Rocher at periodic intervals and scan them with my hot cold detector.
Fantastic. I see how efficiently you do this. Can you please give me a presence and...
Lying acting?
Yeah, I'll allow lying and acting to get through this social situation in a very streamlined manner.
My target is 15, I rolled 10.
Cool, so you passed by 5. Yes, you're very, very efficient at introducing yourself and extricating yourself from conversations without seeming rude. And you, in fact, make a couple of friends. See this around.
Bonus friends.
Yes.
Aww, it's a shame that you'll have to kill them imminently.
But aren't the real deaths the friends we made along the way? Whoops.
I like the thing that you end every conversation with, yeah, I am going to add you to my professional network.
Lyd, Alice, anything?
Yeah, I'm just following around through the party.
Cool. Everyone is paying attention to you. You're dancing very well. People are like,
really good, helping when necessary to support him and extricating and moving around. When we get to the end of that, maybe I'll say... How about we try going into the drawing room?
It's worth mentioning, yes, as you scoot past each, your detector doesn't vibrate any harder. It is worth mentioning that it vibrates a little more in this side of the room.
That being the left-hand side from the entrance?
Yes, the side towards the kitchen and storeroom.
And garage?
Yes, that is all in the same lovely. Alice, how about you?
I think I'm going to try and sort of, circle around the room and then just maybe slip out the door at the back.
Okay.
The kitchen there, and anyone notices?
How are you trying to slip out? Are you making excuses or trying to hide yourself?
I'm not really trying to hide myself, but not trying to draw attention, I suppose. I wouldn't say stealthing, but I guess moving with the confidence that an arrogant upper-class woman would.
Okay, in which case I will accept a presence lying and acting.
Okay, so that's 9. Ooh,
and you hit
9.
That is still a pass. Pass by 0, but a pass nonetheless. Yes, you're pretty sure you managed to give somebody a really rude look in trying to have your big haughtiness, and they're probably a little bit offended, but you do get through.
Good.
And no one has tried to stop you or anything. So you find yourself in what looks like a service hall for the staff.
I'm glad they're offended.
Yes.
No better than they deserve.
Exactly.
So it's worth mentioning that, James, you station yourself next to the garage door, mm-hmm. and as a particularly fabulous hover car comes in and is invited in from the other guests, you slip inside and secrete yourself behind a pile of tyres for some reason. Even though it's hover cars, it's very odd.
Mm. I'm hoping there's a rack of snowmobiles in one corner of the garage.
Do you know what there is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really really handy. Hover snowmobiles.
Yeah.
Which is, they've got skis on the front, but nothing on the back. So they just scoot around. So, after you've clocked the snowmobiles and moved in the garage, these people are staying towards the front, and you can get round a corner and you find yourself in a vaguely deserted area with another what looks like a loading entrance and exit for stores, which probably leads to the storeroom.
Quiet Simon sidles up to the storeroom door. He's miming, like his focus at this point, but what he's visualising is another door. And there's a romantic backstory in his mind between this door and the door that he's sidling towards. And they're destined never to meet because they were fixed in opposite walls in the same room.
Is there anything quite as sad as an invisible mime? Like, that's...
No one
that's
can see
just,
how well
the mime just, are. It's just the worst.
So how does this tragic love story end?
With the two doors touching, handle to handle. And as their handles embrace... One handle turns the other handle in order to open it into a world of delight beyond.
Okay. So what you're saying is Quiet Simon opened a door. But with just an incredible amount of drama behind it.
Yeah.
He flings the door open, finally freeing the two doors from their terrible...
Prison of loneliness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If any door opening ever merited Arts Council funding, it would be this.
Incredible. And as you open, you look into the storeroom, you see a couple of piles of Ferrero Rocher on your side, and a large... suspicious-looking attaché case, which is the size of a small lorry, that could probably hold 5 agents' worth of equipment.
A small lorry?
Yeah.
We have lots of equipment.
An attaché case, so a small lorry.
They get bigger.
Yeah, deal with it.
Okay.
It's a cyberpunk future, James.
Lorries have been miniaturised, but attaché cases are merely grown bigger.
it's like elephants on islands.
It's worth pointing out that in 2300, the concept of attaché cases was just bought out by the lorry industry. you have to call every box that holds something an attaché case.
Right, gotcha.
So it's a nice little bit of world building for you all.
Okay, and Quiet Simon, having rubbed his hands with glee, moves over towards the attaché case, moves a single white-fingered glove across the top of the case, searching for entry points to within it.
Yeah, 2 catches that you can catch.
Simon takes the 2 catches in his fingers and flicks them up simultaneously.
The lid lifts with a ksh. And inside, you find 5 suits of armour, a lot of grenades, a very large machine gun, your beloved chainsaw.
I totally forgot he was a mime with a chainsaw.
I didn't. That's the sad fact, I didn't. There's an invisible mime with a chainsaw running around this party now.
I ain't not yet.
And on that lovely little loot box, I think we'll end the episode.
Now it's a party!
Woo! So, thanks for joining us, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Bye! Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Intrigue, espionage, and seduction. After being stolen by bats, London sits in a cavern a mile below the surface where it has somehow continued to thrive. Welcome to a dark and hilarious Victorian Gothic underworld where every choice has a consequence from the style of your hat to the price of your soul. Be the editor of a newspaper, seduce a squid person, or become a monster hunter at Watchmaker's Hill. The choice is entirely yours. Fallen London offers you different stories depending on your character's choices. Who you've angered, who you seduce, who you've robbed, where you've been, and the secrets that you know. Fallen London is a free text adventure game that you can play on mobile or at www.fallenlondon.com. Explore over 1.5 million words of Victorian Gothic alternate history. Welcome, delicious friend. Head to failbettergames.com/rustyquill to sign up and receive free actions.
Be trying really hard, just so you know that I'm definitely putting the effort in to rolling appropriately. Just your description implied there was a level of agency to dice rolling that I'm not sure necessarily applies.
Choosing situations in which your target number is higher.
Oh, right.
Knowing what your skills are.
GM the f*** out of you, that will
GM the fiddlestick out of me.
That's what I said.
Yep.
I got it out at the start. It's fine. I just need to flap baps.
I love that they've all three of them have hidden behind pillows as if what is about to happen is too terrifying.
Never watch sausage being made. Come on, like.
To maintain respect for Otto von Bismarck, don't watch him while he's trying to come up with epigrammatic sayings.
What?
Because he got that, no, it was genius.
He does most of it on the toilet.
You know where the plane is, and it's leaving in 5 minutes, so it's a nice easy stroll to the port. Airport. It is an airport. Jesus.
I was like, space? What's cyberpunky? Spaceport?
We're not in space.
To the,
airport.
Airport. That's so futuristic.
Spacey.
It's like that, but with neon.
Like, you try that again.
But yeah. They might have some flashing lights at the top of buildings as well.
This is all making.
Oh it God.
Heathrow Terminal 25.
Yeah. In the year 2500, London is just terminals of heat.
I imagine this one would be like The Great Gatsby or something.
Anyone else?
Oh, I imagine because it's utterly tasteless and you're basically like sort of a Trump, Ivanka Trump, it would be The Best Gatsby.
Oh,
the greatest. Terrific.
Make Gatsby great again.
I've seen other Gatsbys, they're nothing like this. Sad. Did I mention this is now a satirical thing?
How little is that black dress?
Showing a lot of thigh. A lot of thigh. There's a dangling issue. There is.
At least it was the favour of stealthing.
Yeah. On the plus side, if there's bright sunlight, I can tell you what time it is.
So.
Never making it through an edit! Never in a million years! What's wrong with you? You're in a room full of people and all of them are spitting!
Alex, stop spoiling their fun.
Yeah. We
came
to their home!
Quiet Simon mimes rubbing his hands in vigorous glee and then takes high steps towards the attaché lorry.
Is Quiet Simon played by...
Robbie Rotten?
What?
I don't know who that is. From this week's hottest meme.
Yeah, from Lazy Town.
I was going to say Jim Carrey.
Okay, we are the number one, but yeah. Too many minds. Yeah.
Me and Ben get it.
We're being hip and down with the kids. Yeah. James, you should try it sometime.
Yeah, Alex, you understand what they're talking about.
They're all just being young.
Like a couple of ages.
This is the first time I've met Alice. I'm not very good at judging ages. You could be anywhere between 12 and 45 for all I know. I just genuinely have no idea.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.